Let's begin with the strange observation from the first reading today. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. It's amazing that this person, Samuel, who had spent several years in a temple, didn't yet know the Lord. However, in the Bible, to know indicates an intimate experience. It's a convinced and unconditional abandonment in the arms of a loved one. So maybe from that perspective, it's not surprising that Samuel, while living in the house of the Lord, had not yet known him. Perhaps it means that he had not yet given the Lord his full attention, his complete willingness to collaborate in God's work of salvation. For you and I, too, perhaps this difficulty of knowing God is not surprising. Perhaps it is not easy to understand the thoughts and getting oneself involved in the designs of the Lord. And people can be devout. They can participate in all kinds of religious events and pray every day without ever really knowing the Lord. There are even pages of the Bible that maybe some of us have learned by heart, and yet at times we have the impression of reading them for the first time. Maybe it's the first time that we've let it penetrate our heart, our innermost being, or perhaps we just weren't ready to listen before. Samuel hears the voice at night when all is quiet, when there are no noises to confuse us or make it perhaps hard to hear. Only solitude and silence allow us to return to ourselves, to reflect on the mysteries of God and of creation, even on the meaning of life. Where noise and confusion are a part of our life, sometimes it's impossible to hear and internalize that word of the Lord. And it's also not easy to recognize the voice of God. It took Samuel 4 calls before he was able to understand what the Lord was communicating to him. Now, we know today in our own culture, there are many voices that resonate and call out to us. And sometimes it's very difficult to discern which of those comes from God. But God is not discouraged. God does not give up in the face of human deafness. God is patient and insists until we decide to pay attention to his word. God calls you by name. Samuel does not come to discover the voice of God alone. There is a priest, Eli, who helps him. And in our own lives, too, there are some people that are more sensitive to others that hear that voice of God, that hear that word of God. And they are the ones that can help us discover what the Lord wants us to do. So perhaps something we ought to reflect on is, who is that person for us? Who is that spiritual mentor? Who is that spiritual director? Who is that spiritual elder? Who is that for us in our life? And now the gospel. The words Jesus addressed to the two who follow him, "What are you looking for?" are the first words he speaks in the gospel. And they are directed to every disciple who begins the spiritual journey. What are we looking for? Is it power? Is it social status? Is it affirmation? Do we want to let Christ transform us? Or do we use Jesus as a way to make ourselves feel superior to others who don't believe? In the second part of the passage today, the group of the disciples begins to widen. The two that went to Jesus, who saw and stayed with him, have come to a deeper understanding of his identity. And so they can't keep this discovery to themselves. They feel the urge to share it with others. And so in the passage, Andrew is the first to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. And he goes to his brother, Simon, leads him to the Master. Fixing his gaze on him, Jesus exclaims that he is Simon, the rock on which the church will be built. Here, the gospel author uses a Greek word to gaze, which means to stare into, to contemplate in a deep, intimate way. And only two times in the gospel is this verb used. It is Jesus, with the eyes of God, who penetrates into the very heart of Peter, capturing his identity and giving him the name that will define his mission. For the fishermen of the lake, Simon was the son of John. For Jesus, for God, he is called Peter, because his vocation is to be a living stone that holds the church fast in the unity of faith. Perhaps we ought to ask ourselves, what would Jesus see if he stared into us? Would we be too ashamed to let him? Do we allow God to penetrate our hearts? Or do we fear what that would mean? God wants to stare right into our broken and wounded hearts, because if we allow that stare, it will change our direction and provide a calling that may even upset our comfort and security. The loving gaze of our Lord is what the disciples needed to be assured of their calling. Let us put aside our fears and hesitation and let God gaze into the very depths of our being, confident that it will bring us ever closer to what God wants for us. Then we can encourage others and bring them to the God who knows each of us by our name.